Have you really raised people that once you die, you leave this world, that they will carry on the torch for Jesus Christ? Many times I haven't. I've done it for one of these selfish reasons. Many times I haven't done anything. But that's what God wants from us. How do you raise your children? Train up a child in the way they should go. What does that mean? It means to train them up to be holy, godly offspring. Are you doing that? You're training them to be academically smart. You've already picked out Harvard and Princeton and Yale. You're raising them so one day they will play for Chapel Hill or Duke or some other university that you really, really love and you're passionate about. My kid's going to play for that. What are you doing? Nothing's wrong with that. But that's not God's purpose in giving you that child or those children. He wants you to raise a holy, godly offspring to represent Him in this world. And in the process, don't miss this, in the process, He wants you to enjoy them.
You just heard a portion of the upcoming message titled Misled by Dr. Abadan Shah of Clearview Church here in Henderson, North Carolina. Our goal here at Clearview is to make Christ visible in all that we do. We would love to see you at one of our services here at 3485 Highway 158 on Oxford Road in Henderson, North Carolina. And for more information, visit us at clearviewbc.org. But for now, let's listen to this week's message.
I remember years ago we were coming down 85 headed towards Atlanta years and years ago and got off the highway 2 hours in the wrong direction and did not realize. And then it was 2 o'clock in the morning, and then find out we have to drive 2 hours and then still keep going to our destination. Well, in life, you need the right directions. Wrong directions or failure to follow the right direction can be disastrous. The Bible, the Word of God, is God's right direction for our lives every single time. You will never go wrong sticking to this book. This is the GPS of life. But there's something more. It's not just a book that is a GPS of our lives, but it's the author of the book, Jesus Himself, is our GPS. He Himself said that I am the way. You have your Bibles with you. Turn to Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20 onwards, and the message is called Misled. Let's all rise together as we read God's Word. Proverbs chapter 6, starting in verse 20. My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you roam, see, that's where I got the GPS. When you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. When you awake, they will speak with you. Remember years ago when your car spoke to you for the first time? Man, my vehicle actually talks to me, tells me the direction or tells me if the gas is low. Well, it's been around for a very long time. The Word of God will also speak with you when you awake. For the commandment is a lamp and the law a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep you from the evil woman, from the flattering tongue of a seductress. Question for us as we begin. Today, 2020, today, how is the GPS of your life? We're not talking about the global positioning system. We're talking about the God positioning system. In your heart of hearts, are you headed in the right direction? 22 years of pastoring, I've come to realize what looks on the surface is not what's happening inside. Individually, as a couple, as a family, are you sure that you are headed in the right direction? My goal is not to cause you to doubt what God is doing in your life. My goal is to ask you, are you going in the right direction? And is Jesus your way and your destination? If He's not, would you pray with me right now, right where you are? Your head's bowed, your eyes are turned towards God. Simple prayer that says, Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe that you are the Son of God who came, died, rose again. To the best of my ability, I believe that you are my Savior, and I need you to come into my life, forgive me of my sins, and take over. I've been very pleased by the positive response of so many of you to this brief series that we did, started 4 weeks ago in the book of Proverbs. It was amazing. Many of you are now reading a chapter of Proverbs every day. That's wonderful. I mean, that's wisdom. So we'll come back to Proverbs next year and in small doses. Now back to our final message. Listen again to Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 20. Solomon, speaking to his son, he says, "My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother." Now, before we go any further, I want to spend some time here. So this message, if you're used to expository preaching, this message is going to be top heavy. I'm going to spend some time in these first couple of verses and then rapidly move to the rest of the chapter. The parents are the primary instructors in training up the child in the way he or she should go, if you know that reference. Now, unfortunately, that doesn't always happen. There are all kinds of parents here this morning. My purpose is not to harass you or give you a hard time. You came to church, praise God, some didn't. But my purpose is to expose you to how many of us have grew up in wrong parenting, and we unfortunately continue that idea, and we do that with our children. The first are people who know how to bring children into this world, but they have no desire to take care of them. Boy, are we familiar with that. And it's not just on the other side of the tracks. It's not just in the inner city. It happens elsewhere as well, which parents or individuals for a one-night stand or just a boyfriend and girlfriend, and here comes a child, but they have no desire to raise that child in the right way. And unfortunately, in many cases, those parents or that parent actually does more harm than good. It's very tragic. They do more damage. And so, absentee parents. In some situation, some parents don't want that burden. They look at their children as a burden. I told you this message is going to be top heavy. I'm going to focus on the parenting first because I think we're really messed up here. Some parents instruct their children more out of a desire to maintain, how do I say this, self-image. Self-image. So we're going to send them to the best school because, hey, you're my child. We're going to have them in all the sports because you're my kid. You're going to wear the best of the best because you reflect me. Now, in some ways, there is some truth in this. Our children are a reflection of us. But in this situation, the parents do what they do only to make themselves look good. Please don't dodge the message today because that may be you. Unintentionally, you're doing this. And it's sad. Now, let me kind of stay on that category, but kind of expand a little bit. Many times, there are parents who go to church, but they go to a legalistic church. Now, I am Bible-believing, I'm conservative, but I hate legalism. Legalism is where man-made rules are far more important than God-made rules. So you can't do this, can't do this, can't do this, can't do this. And if you happen to go to that church, what's going to happen is this. You're going to make your kids do things, not because you have those convictions, because you don't want to be ostracized by the community. So to please the preacher, to please the Sunday school teacher, to please the deacons, you have all these lists of rules. So nobody will say, hey, I saw your daughter doing this, or I saw your son, and I saw what he was wearing. I tell you what, that's not, God's not pleased with that. And so you do all this for self-image, albeit under the umbrella of church. There's another category under parenting, which is for wrong reasons, where there are some parents, boy, I've seen those, I call them the trophy parents. Anybody know what I'm talking about? They're living vicariously through their children. Now, what does that mean? Well, you see them in sports where you did not make the cut growing up, but your child is playing sports today, so from the sidelines you can see them acting the fool. Sometimes I want to say, would you rather we put that jersey on you and let you play? Because I really feel like your son would rather sit here. Your daughter would rather pick flowers, and I think you should be out there pushing their kids. The kids don't care, but mamas do. And then here's another category, and these are what I like to call nursing home parents. What does that mean by nursing home parents? These are parents who do what they do for their kids, but they constantly remind them, don't you forget what we've done for you. But my parents are so different. I mean, they're different. It's funny. Many times I've called my mom and dad and said, hey, what if I send y'all a check? I know dad was sick or mom was sick. And they said, you know how they talk to me? Yes, yes, absolutely. We're going to call you next week. And then we're going to let you know where to send it if they don't call me. And one day my dad just kind of cornered me, because I cornered him. And he said, look, we know what you're going through. We know what it means to raise four kids. We did it. You're in ministry. It's tough. Son, if we needed money, we would ask you for it. But God has blessed us. We want you to raise your family the best you can. Go do that. That gives us great joy. And we promise you, we're going to call you and let you know what we need. I'm like, right. My parents are the greatest parents in the world. All right? They're probably watching on Facebook. But then there are people, even in America, who have that understanding. And there's nothing wrong with it. There's some truth that we should take care of our parents. We should care about them in their time of need. But if that's the only reason why you're doing what you're doing, or if that's a big reason why you're doing what you're doing, please. And then there's another one, which I would take this over all of these, of course. It's parenting because of parenting instincts. What does that mean? God has made parents, even in the creature world, in the animal world, to take care of their own. Right? Even domestic animals take care of their little ones. Wild animals take care of their little ones. Human beings, moms and dads, they have this instinct, I have to take care of my own. They're my children. I love them. And that's great, but still, it's not the right reason for instructing your children. The way the Bible says. So what is the reason? I can give you many references. Our time is already running away from us. But here's a big one from Psalms 127, verse 3. Listen to this. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The Hebrew word behind the word heritage means inheritance or a gift. Please listen very carefully. It means this. Children don't ultimately belong to us. They belong to God. They belong to Him. My four kids, your two, your three, your whatever family you have, your kids are not ultimately yours. They are His. Let me give you two references. The first one is Malachi 2:15. Listen very carefully to this verse. But did He, meaning God, did He not make them one? We're talking about a husband and wife. When they come together, they become one. Listen again. But did He not make them one, having a remnant of the Spirit? Not two spirits, but one Spirit, reflecting God's Spirit. And why one? Are y'all ready? Look at the screen. Why one? He seeks godly offspring. What is my purpose as a parent? To raise a godly offspring. Here's another reference, 1 Corinthians 7:14. And in this situation, I should give you a quick context. What happens when a couple, both of them are lost? In the early church, this was happening. And then one would get saved. The husband would get saved, or the wife would get saved. What about the children now? Because now you have one unsaved parent. What do you do with the children? Listen to what it says in 1 Corinthians 7:14. For the unbelieving husband, the lost husband, is sanctified by the believing wife. This was happening in the early church. And the unbelieving wife, if it happens that the wife is lost, the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband who got saved. Otherwise, pay attention to this, otherwise your children would be unclean if both of them were lost, unclean, but now they are, what's the word? What's the word?
Holy.
You know what God wants us to do? What is our purpose in raising those children? To raise a holy, godly offspring. What does that mean? It means raising people who will be God's representatives in this world. But that's what God wants from us. How do you raise your children? Train up a child in the way they should go. What does that mean? It means to train them up to be holy, godly offspring. Are you doing that? You're training them to be academically smart. You've already picked out Harvard and Princeton and Yale. You're raising them so one day they will play for Chapel Hill or Duke or some other university that you really, really love and you're passionate about. My kid's going to play for that. What are you doing? Nothing's wrong with that. But that's not God's purpose in giving you that child or those children. He wants you to raise a holy, godly offspring to represent Him in this world. And in the process, don't miss this, in the process, He wants you to enjoy them. There's so much joy when a baby comes into your life. There's so much joy as that little baby begins to grow up, right, parents? Unless you're having sleepless nights. There's so much joy to watch them stumble and fall and learn to walk. There's so much joy. You sometimes, you know, in the teenage years, the joy is a little low. They're like, what happened to my sweet little girl or sweet little boy? What happened? What happened? But then they come back, and it's so much joy to watch them flourish. And then one day see them married and or having grandchildren, so much joy. God's not saying this, all you're going to do is raise holy, godly offspring. I don't care about anything else. No, He said, no, I want you to enjoy them. I want you to laugh. I want you to cry. I want you to make the best of it. But listen, ultimately, my desire is for you to raise a holy, godly offspring unto me. Are we doing that? And this is why you have to give them the GPS of life. That's where the GPS comes in. How can I raise a holy, godly offspring when I myself I'm not in the Word? If many of you fathers are truly honest this morning, this book has not been opened up, has not been read, has not been lived out for a long time. How can you raise a holy, godly offspring when you don't even have a GPS? Listen again to verse 20. My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother. The command and the law is not my personal convictions. It's about the Word of God. How do you know that? Because the word for law, the law of your mother, is the word, Hebrew word, Torah. That's the Old Testament. And in this context, it is referring to the law of the covenant, which is the Word of God. So what is the GPS? The GPS is not just, son, I'm going to give you some tips and tricks on how to make a business work or how to relate with people. Unless it's coming from the Word of God, that's just you passing on your ideas. In this verse, the GPS is leading your children by words and by actions in the Word of God. Let's keep reading verse 21. Now we're going to move rapidly. Remember I told you we're going to be top heavy for a reason. But let's move rapidly. What should the son do? What should the daughter do? I know the Bible is speaking in a masculine language, but it applies to girls as well, because this is for daughters as well. They need to see a godly father. They need to see a godly mother. Verse 21, bind them continually upon your heart. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, it was around your wrist or between the frontlets of your eyes. No, it's around your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you roam, they will lead you. So when your son or your daughter are away from you, the GPS of the Word of God will still guide them. When you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. When you awake, they will speak with you. For the commandment is a lamp and the law a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. How in the world are you surviving without this book? Now comes the purpose for the GPS. Are y'all ready for this? Here's the purpose. The purpose is not that so you will grow up and be successful. The purpose is not that you won't steal. The purpose is not that you won't be an upright citizen or whatever. Here's the purpose, verse 24, to keep you from the evil woman. To keep you from the flattering tongue of a seductress. Remember what I said? You have to, for the ladies, for the girls, make it to keep you from the evil man. To keep you from the flattering tongue of a seducer. Do not lust after her beauty in your heart, nor let her allure you with her eyelids, or nor let him allure you with his eyelids, or whatever. What is the point? The point is, parents, you should be raising your children to live by the truth coming from the Word of God rather by their instincts, their emotions, their senses. Imagine if those doors were to fling open and in walks in a lady. And I see her and immediately I feel a connection. Like, wow, that's the one. That is the person. That's the ideal person that I've always wanted. Now, of course, I'm married to Nicole, but no, that's the one. And then I have an opportunity to sit down and talk to her. And in a matter of seconds, it's like, this is my soul partner, my life partner. I mean, this is that person. We are connected. We have the same likes and dislikes. We laugh at the same things. We are upset about the same issues. I mean, this is the person. But 25 some years ago, I made a mistake. I married this one. What do I do now? I know exactly what to do now. My warning signal should be going off at that moment. My warning signals, my heart should be overridden by the truth of the Word of God that that's a lie from the pit of hell. That my wife is my wife. End of story. Did y'all get that? And unfortunately, we can say that, but even in churches, that doesn't happen because many, many, many times that goes on. You know, you can have hard adultery, you can have soft adultery. You know what soft adultery is? Is what Jesus talked about in Matthew chapter 5. That even if you lust for a woman in your mind, you've already done it. Jesus did not lower the standards. He raised them. And unfortunately, we're living in a time where you don't have to go and buy pornography at a store and have to somehow cover it up and walk out. Now it's right there in front of you. Coming in the form of social media. And you know what happens? Please listen. If you laugh about this, maybe the Holy Spirit is giving you one last warning. You know what happens? Many times in our heart, we become connected to that person. Even if we have never spoken to them, even if there's no action taken, even if nothing has happened, our heart has now stepped out of bounds. Why is the marriage conference so important? Because you got to retrain people to fall in love, madly in love with your own spouse and to desire each other. Isn't that crazy that we have to explain that to people? You have to fall madly in love with your spouse and desire one another. You have to tell people that nowadays. Oh, I'm a Christian. I serve in church. I mean nothing. I'm not impressed with that. That's great. I appreciate y'all are here. A lot of people didn't come. But still, doesn't mean your marriage is perfect. Well, every marriage has its problems. No, you know what we're talking about here. Go back to verse 26. For by means of a harlot, a man is reduced to a crust of bread. Now, that's a horrible translation. In the Hebrew, the better translation goes like this. A harlot, a prostitute, will cost you a loaf of bread. But an adulteress will cost you your life. Now, this does not mean that, okay, better off going to a prostitute. Don't misunderstand. Read the book of Proverbs again, because in Proverbs chapter 5, Solomon warns his son against the prostitute. Let's keep reading. Verse 27. Can a man take fire to his bosom and his clothes not be burned? You keep opening that site. You keep opening that YouTube video. You keep looking at those images. You keep becoming extra friendly with certain person of the opposite sex. Can you continue doing that and your clothes not be burned? Can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be seared? So is he who goes into his neighbor's wife, whether it's actually or mentally. Whoever touches her shall not be innocent. Whoever touches him shall not be innocent. People do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy himself when he is starving. It's important to teach your children to tell the truth. Don't lie. Don't steal. But when someone does that because they're hungry, people go, oh, well, he's hungry. He's got to pay for that. How do you recover from sexual immorality in your marriage? It's very, very hard. Listen to verse 31. Yet when he is found, the thief is found, he must restore sevenfold. He may have to give up all the substance of his house. Whoever commits adultery with a woman or with a man lacks understanding. They are dumb. Isn't that great? You're stupid. He who does so destroys his own soul. Wounds and dishonor he will get. How can your conscience be clear? How can you come home and look your spouse in the eye and say, I really love you. You're the best thing that ever happened. You can't do that. Why? Because your conscience has been wounded. Wounds and dishonor he will get, and his reproach will not be wiped away. For jealousy is a husband's fury. Therefore, he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will accept no recompense, nor will he be appeased, though you give many gifts. Now, it's more a cultural thing. Back in the day, if a person committed adultery, a man went to someone else's wife, or a wife went to someone else's husband, if those happened, the whole community would, excommunicate you. But now we're living in a world where that doesn't happen. But I tell you what, he sees it. God sees it. And he will work all things together for good. Listen to what Jesus said very quickly. John 8:12. Jesus spoke to them again saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. I've given all four, and Nicole, of course, we have given all four of our children the light of the world. And that's Jesus Christ. And as they go through life, they have the light. Well, sometimes they'll stumble, they'll fall in a pit. Of course they will. But they got the light. The light's Jesus. Something else Jesus said in John 14, verse 6. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So we have not only just given them the light, we've also put them on the way. And the way is Jesus. Are you worried about your children right now? Worried about relationship for them? I hope he finds someone who will love him. I hope she finds someone who will love her. I want her to have a good job. She's struggling. But if you have given them Jesus to the best of your ability, know this much, they belong to him.
Thank you for listening to this week's sermon. Parenting is such an important job that is also very rewarding. We have to raise our children to be holy and godly. For more information, check out Dr. Shah's blog at abadonshah.com. Also, check out our website at clearviewbc.org for ways that you can get plugged in right here at Clearview. One awesome event coming up on March 28th and 29th is our annual Easter concert. This year's Easter concert, titled The Offering, is going to be an awesome night of worship centered around our I Am the Neighbor project and how it has impacted so many lives. Get your ticket today here at Clearview or call us at 252-438-8433 for more information.